Well, today I want to talk to you about insurance. No, this is not one of those fire insurance sermons, you know, turn or burn, accept Jesus or roast in the fires of hell. I want to talk to you about car insurance. Now, I've noticed that the auto insurance companies tend to take either one of two approaches to advertising their companies. On the one hand, there are those companies that want you to think that they are good and helpful people. I mean, complete this advertising slogan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there, right? You're in good hands with Allstate, right? So those are those companies that I would call love your neighbor companies. They take the approach that they're going to be there no matter what hard time you go through. They're going to be by your side. And they will go the extra mile for you, even if they have to stay up all night like Jake from State Farm to talk to you on the phone in the middle of the night. They're there for you. Now, other companies take a different approach. And their approach is not how neighborly they are, but their approach is how much money you can save or how much little you'd have to pay to get by with as little as possible on car insurance. Probably the most famous of these is 15 minutes can save you 15% or more on car insurance, right? Geico. It's the Geico approach. They want it to let you know that with them, you can get by with less. It'll cost you less money. Of course, then there are some of those companies that you can't quite figure out what their approach is. Like, well, complete this. We are farmers. Yeah, what in the world does that mean? I don't know. I really don't. But for the most part, the insurance companies take one of those two approaches, either the love your neighbor approach or the save some money approach or get by with as little as possible. So I want to ask you this morning, what is your approach? And I'm not talking about what car insurance company you have, but what's your approach to life? Do you have the love your neighbor approach? Or do you have how little can I get by with? Is your approach State Farm or Geico? What kind of person do you want to be? Jesus raises that question in the fifth chapter of Matthew in his Sermon on the Mount. And in the first couple of verses that we're going to read here, you'll see that Jesus is kind of making a comparison. A comparison between getting by with as little as possible or going the extra mile. He says, if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You've heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Jesus says, so you've been sued. And he's assuming here that you've lost, that you've lost your shirt in the suit. So the least that you can do is to do what the courts order you, and that is to give the person your shirt. But Jesus says, don't stop there. Throw in your coat as well. And he says, so you're commanded to go 1 mile. Now, we don't quite understand this, but in Jesus' day, Roman soldiers could command Jewish citizens to carry their gear for 1 mile. They would just grab you and say, take my stuff, and you had to go with them 1 mile, but no further. They could not make you go further than 1 mile. And of course, people hated even going the mile, but that was the least that they could do legally. And Jesus says, yeah. And then when you get to the end of the mile, turn around and say, I'll carry it another mile. take the extra mile. And even in those cases when legally we don't have any obligation, like when somebody asks for help, when somebody asks to borrow something, Jesus says, give to them. Loan it to them. Take care of their needs. You could do nothing, because legally you're not bound to help in any way. But Jesus says, go the extra mile. Go the extra mile. Now, we've heard Jesus say in our series on loving your neighbor, to love your neighbor as yourself. And so Jesus doesn't say don't love yourself, and Jesus gives us these two things. But you know, sometimes in life we have to make a choice. There are circumstances in life where we have to decide whether we're going to just take care of ourselves and just love ourselves, or whether we're going to love our neighbor. We have to choose. We have to choose if we're going to go the extra mile. Choose if we are going to take the Geico approach or the State Farm approach. He continues in the verses here that we just read to talk about loving your enemy. And we talked about that a little bit earlier in the series. Remember how we talked about the neighbor with the 27-yard signs for the candidate that you didn't support? Or my neighbor that would take the kids' balls whenever they went into his yard and he would keep them. And we talked about forgiveness, and we know how to forgive, and we know about loving our neighbor. But you know, most of our interactions with our neighbors, they're not our enemies. Most of the interactions that we have with people are just regular, ordinary people. In fact, you might even like your neighbors. But even then, we're faced with a choice. Even then, we're left with the question, will I choose to do the least toward them, or will I go the extra mile? Am I going to live for my life only, or for my neighbor? Jesus said, love your neighbor as you love yourself, but when push comes to shove, we sometimes have to choose the kind of person we want to be. Even the Bible translators wind up with this choice. In the book of Ecclesiastes, there's a verse that's, you might have heard from the King James Version. It's Ecclesiastes 11, verse 1. And it says, cast thy bread upon the water, for thou shalt find it after many days. You heard that verse? Cast thy bread upon the water, for thou shalt find it after many days. That's literally what it says, but it's also literally not true. I mean, go down to the river and throw your bread in and come back after many days and see if you find it. No, if the fish don't get it and the ducks don't eat it, it's just going to dissolve and get washed away. So what is God's message there? What is God trying to tell us through that? And Bible translators have had to wrestle with that. What does it mean when cast thy bread upon the water and you'll find it after many days? Well, Bible translators take two different approaches too. In the contemporary English version, here's how it translates verse 1 and 2 of Ecclesiastes 11. Be generous, and someday you'll be rewarded. Cast thy bread upon the water, and in many days you'll find it. Be generous, and someday you'll be rewarded. Share what you have with 7 or 8 others, because you never know when disaster may strike. So be generous, share, because you never know when disaster might strike. But the New International Version translates it this way. Their version of cast your bread upon the water is this. Ship your grain across the sea, and after many days you may receive a return. Invest in 7 ventures, yes, in 8. You do not know what disaster may come upon the land. In other words, make a lot of investment. Get that extra 15%, because you never know when disaster might strike. Same basic words in the Hebrew, but two different ways of looking at it. And Both of these translations are correct. I mean, the Hebrew doesn't specifically tell us its meaning in that way. So when it comes to Bible translators, they have to discern what is God's message here. But, you know, as we've seen, they can't give us a definitive answer. So we have to make the choice. I mean, both of those are good things. Investing, building up a business, good thing. Giving and sharing with others, good thing. But when you read this week, what is God saying to your heart? What is he telling you to do? What's the message there? Is it take care of yourself or take care of your neighbor? Is it Geico or State Farm? Do the least or go the extra mile? Back when we had that big snowstorm in October, first of the year snowstorm, Tammy was coming home from a job interview in Eagan, and she got stuck in the snow. And some good neighbor stopped and pushed her out, and she got home safely. Now, he wasn't obligated to do that. The least that he was obligated to do was to slow down and pull over so that he didn't get in an accident with her. But instead, he chose to go the extra mile. He chose to push Tammy out. He chose to love his neighbor. And this church is filled with people who have chosen to love their neighbor. The Just Us Girls Women's Group, in the midst of this COVID stuff, they decided that they were going to bless those community workers, the people that are serving us in the community. And so throughout the course of this pandemic, they have blessed people with donuts and cookies. And they've blessed the educators at six schools. They've blessed both the morning and the evening shifts for the police officers and for the fire department. They've blessed the workers at the polling places, at eight different polling places. They provided for those who have to be there all day long through that election stuff. And they blessed the post office workers as well. Now that's extra mile living. They've gone the extra mile to love their neighbor. There's another family in this church who realized that some people are struggling, that many have lost their jobs or their income has been reduced. And God put on their heart to bless them, and so they gave the church money so that we might be able to give two families $100 a month for a year just to help them out. Now, this wasn't some big church campaign. We didn't do a fundraiser or anything. God just put it on their heart, and they chose to love their neighbor and to bless them in this way. And many of you have blessed others by supporting all the ministries of this church. You know, there is so much that happens here, and you're a part of that because you have given. Some of you have gone above and beyond what you've done in the past because you know that there are others that can't do anything to support the ministries of the church. And others of you have been struggling yourself, and yet you have not let the ministries end here. You have kept them going, kept touching lives, because you've chosen to be a good neighbor. And, you know, a lot of the budget here at a church is staff. It is at any church. So I want to let you know the kind of staff you have. This week there's a woman with two daughters that was homeless. She contacted the church. She'd been living out of her car, but then her car got hit and was impounded. So they had no place to live. And Pastor Julie, she spent hours on the phone trying to find a shelter that could put them up, and they were all full. So then Julie and Dan said, well, we'll go get her car out of the impound lot so at least they can stay there. But the car was too badly damaged. And And so that wasn't possible either. So they went and got a track phone for her, and they've got some winter clothes and some toiletries and food and things like that, and got her connected with a place that at least temporarily they weren't out in the cold. They spent hours doing that when others might have been spending their time on the weekend doing what we normally do. Julie and Dan were loving their neighbor. Now, it doesn't have to be something as extravagant as that to love your neighbor. Sometimes it can be just little things. Little things where you go the extra mile for someone else. And if we look, those opportunities are endless. They're all around us. If we just think about loving our neighbor and not only for ourselves, we'll find opportunities to go the extra mile. When I was a kid, I had a neighbor who was just an ordinary neighbor. He wasn't somebody with barbed wire and he wasn't stealing kids' balls. He was just an ordinary, normal neighbor. And as a kid, didn't have too much interaction with him. But one fall, after the first hard frost, and he had all these tomato plants with rotting tomatoes on them, he came up with an idea. And he said to the kids in the neighborhood, "Hey, would you like to have a tomato fight in my garden?" Now, he could have been handing out dollar bills and we wouldn't have been that excited. And so we did. And there were tomatoes all over his yard and his garage as well. We had a grand time for about a half hour. That's all it was. And that's not a world-changing kind of thing. And yet the fact that I'm telling you this 50 years later shows how it touched my life, that a neighbor would just do something like that and let us throw rotten tomatoes at each other. It was awesome. All the time we have opportunities. And every time that those opportunities show themselves, we've got a choice. What kind of neighbor are we going to be? Are we going to be a love your neighbor kind of person? Are we going to be an extra mile kind of person? Or are we going to be a what's in it for me and how much is this going to cost me? You know, it will cost you if you want to love your neighbor. It will cost you to go the extra mile. It might cost you extra money, might cost you extra time, might cost you some pride, might even cost you your coat, as Jesus says. It will cost you if you make that your approach. And yet, that's what Jesus calls for from us. He calls us to love our neighbors, not just our enemies, but all of our neighbors, and to go the extra mile for them. Jesus, a little bit earlier in that Sermon on the Mount in chapter 5, he tells us this: "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden." He says, you are light in this dark world. You are a light. And he says, "Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others." And you know, the light that we have to shine is the light that Christ puts there, because he is the light of the world. And when Christ is alive in us, then the light of Christ shines through. But why? Why would we want to let Christ's light shine? Well, that's the last part. "That they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." That they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. It's not about us. It's about glorifying God. Because in us, in those extra miles that we go, in the love that we show, in the light that we shine. They're pointing to Jesus, that others might glorify him and know him. As I was writing this sermon one night to this week, it was dark, the church was locked up, and I was all alone in my office, and there was a rap at the window. And I looked out and I saw these three little faces peering in the window at me. And they said, "Do you have any food?" And I was able to say yes to that. I was able to say yes to that because another person who goes the extra mile in this church is Mary Ann. And she goes down to Cub every week and she picks up their extra bakery goods and she brings them and she puts them on that shelf by the entryway. You've probably seen it. And this last week there was lots of bread and things like that. But on this night, there was one package of chocolate peanut butter bars. So I unlocked the door and I stepped outside and I brought that to those kids. And they took them and wolfed them down and we had a conversation and we talked about church. We talked about things. Now, I don't know if that will change their life. If they'll remember that in 50 years, don't know. But I do know that by the love that they've been shown from people in this congregation who've gone the extra mile, they just might see that there's a God who loves them. That's why we do it. That's why we go the extra mile. We do it for the glory of God, and so others may know him. And every day we get those choices just in our ordinary life. What approach are we going to take? Are we going to love our neighbors? Or are we going to take the way of doing the least? Are we going to go the extra mile? Are we just going to hold on to things ourselves? Are we going to be State Farm or Geico? That's a choice we all have every day. Jesus would say, love your neighbor. Let's pray. Oh Lord, help us. Help us to love as you love, to be shaped by your Spirit, to reach out to our neighbors, whether they might be stuck in a snowbank, whether they might be hungry, or whether they just might want to have some fun in a garden. Lord, you give us opportunities, so open our eyes to see them. And help us to choose to love our neighbors and go the extra mile. Amen.